All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BYB 17 Brawl at Rock Hill, and that transpires May 13th. We've got Josette Cotton defending her BYB welterweight and Police Gazette World Diamond belts against Jamie Driver, and very excited to have Jamie on the show today. How's everything going there, Jamie?
Everything's going really well. Camp is off to a really good start, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to hear, and seems like at least a few reasons to be feeling good. I saw the Box Rec rankings shout out there where you were situated at number one in terms of like welterweight, you know, bare knuckle boxers and everything. What was the, I guess, set of feelings like when you saw that? I imagine you were excited.
Yeah, I mean, I can't lie. I was absolutely excited, kind of shocked, you know. I mean, obviously Josette has the belt, but it's nice to know the universe knows that I'm really number one and I'm going to come take what's mine so I can prove that I'm number one. So, but yeah, I was super excited to see that and it feels really good.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like that's the mentality, like you're looking at this fight as like a chance to, you know, really underscore that and then have the belts to kind of go along with that. Is that kind of the mentality?
Absolutely. I mean, I know I'm the best. You know, it's just a matter of showing it and proving it and getting the belt. And then with that, I feel like it solidifies that I'm number one, you know, in the rankings for a reason.
Yeah, and I'm curious because you were just saying a bit before about like getting in some good work. Like I was kind of, you know, checking out some of the social media to see like what you were doing training wise. And I saw the, you know, coach or the post you had there rather with Coach B sharpening the tools while, you know, Derek Santos was away and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious like who you're, I guess, predominantly working with ahead of this fight.
Yeah, so pretty much I'm working with my head coach Derek Santos and my team at DS Boxing in Boca Raton, and then we also have assistant coach Coach B, Coach Brian, that's there helping us out there. I also work with Coach Mo, and I also have Jake Bonacci, who's my strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, and I'm curious how long that's been part of the general preparations, because I know you were at American Top Team during your tenure as an MMA fighter. Like how long have you been working with them, like through the entirety of your, you know, bare knuckle journey, you'd say?
So Mo is actually the only coach that I've continued working with from the start to now in my bare knuckle career. Derek came into my life, let's see, I think I started training with him early last year, so it's only been almost a year working with Derek Santos, but it's been an amazing year, so yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like there's some cool elements to this card. Like obviously you being in a title fight is, you know, hugely important and definitely, you know, drawing my attention, but I'm also noticing there's another title fight on the card, and it seems like you have a level of connectivity to that, because I saw you shouting out Joshua Oxendine and thanking him for, you know, trusting and everything with like the cornering dynamic and all of that, and just him vying for BYB lightweight gold on the card. Can you kind of speak to that? Because that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, so actually Josh Oxendine and I, we met years ago at an MMA card, actually in the same state, South Carolina, just different area. It was Greenville for 864 Fighting, and we actually both fought, and we actually both lost, I believe, on that same card. And it's kind of funny because, you know, after that was the first and last time I ever saw him, but he came back around to, you know, bare knuckle boxing, and so did I. So it's an honor and an amazing blessing to be able to share the same card with him again and avenge our losses in the state of South Carolina.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So there was like a bit of a connection and then sort of separation and then reconnecting through a new sport. That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, it's kind of rare, you know, that you kind of reconnect with people, but then again, like the fight world, we're all interconnected one way or the other, you know what I mean? We all see people from different states and different countries all the time, so, but it's really cool, you know, to reconnect with someone, so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, and in talking about rarities and just really making history, that last one seemed like a big one, just in being part of the first women's bare knuckle bout in the UK, and I mean, getting the victory as an extension of that seemed like a big one, and it also seemed like you got to enjoy a little bit of looking around England a little bit thereafter. Can you speak to, I guess, the totality of that experience? That would have seemed like a, you know, good one at BYB 12 against Sonia Dreiling.
So, you know, I don't mean to downplay that experience. It was, I mean, it's phenomenal looking back, but in the time, at the moment, I was actually going through a really rough time. So I really didn't enjoy any of it. I didn't want to be there. you know, I was just with stuff I had going on. But after the fight, yes, you know, and looking back, it was an amazing experience. You know, being dubbed one of the first females along with Sonya Dryling to, you know, fight on, you know, a legal bare knuckle boxing card in the UK, and then I come out, you know, the victor, you know, that's amazing. And London was beautiful, though. You know, my coach and I, we explored London for like 10 hours, and I definitely would love to go back, that's for sure.
Yeah, now that you say that, I feel like I actually saw that post, and it seemed like, obviously, a lot of impactful personal life happenings and stuff like that. Was there almost a level of, I guess, catharsis and relief to get out there and compete and have that, I guess, occupy, you know, your mind state a little bit more? Like, I guess, was there some cathartic benefit to that last one with everything that was going on?
Yeah, it was actually like, as soon as the fight ended and I went in the back and, you know, I called my parents, a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was like, oh, I was like, they, I, you know, it was just one big major stressor in my life that was just kind of out of the way. But yeah, I mean, they're all like that though. You know, every camp is tough. Every fight is tough. And you kind of, you're excited for the moment, but you also kind of can't wait to get that relief of all the anxieties, you know, gone.
Yeah, but it seemed like you had a lot of respect for your opponent too, like in talking about how, like, they elevated you with that performance and stuff like that. So kind of, can you speak to that kind of curious dynamic? Because I love that with fighters where it's like a combative dynamic in as far as just what the competition is, but just like a very supportive kind of helpful dynamic as well, in as far as like you ultimately, I guess, force each other to kind of level up for the fight.
You do. And Sonya was definitely the first fight for me to really truly test my skills, but not physically, more mentally. And that speaks volumes of her as an opponent for me, and as a female fighter. You know, it's like to have shared that dance with her, and to also, I really came out a better person and a better fighter because of her. And it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome thing to happen, and yeah.
And I'm curious because I find I often, you know, ask fighters about this when there's like the, I guess, dual belt dynamic going on. And I mean, just with the BYB title being at stake here, but also the, you know, Police Gazette World Diamond Belt is kind of cool because in a certain regard, one kind of represents the present and also as an extension, the future. And then with the other one, there's such like a rich history with it. Is there a certain level of importance you have on, I guess, maybe either of the titles? Are they both commensurately cool? The fact that you're going to, you know, collect each of them. I guess, what are your thoughts on what each, you know, kind of represents in that way I'm laying it out?
I mean, I can't lie, to be honest. I mean, they both kind of mean the same to me. I hope that doesn't disrespect anybody. But, you know, I mean, for me personally, it'll just be an amazing task and feat to accomplish and take both of those belts. So, I mean, it means the world. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair answer for sure. They both have commensurate worth and everything like that, and will, I guess, ultimately just make for some, you know, cooler pictures, couple of belts if you get your desired outcome, right?
Yeah, and I mean, regardless, I hope, you know, at least, you know, if I can get my name in the history books as, you know, one of the most baddest female bare-knuckle boxers in the world at one time, and to, you know, just hopefully with my journey and my fight career can inspire and help other female fighters in the long run, you know, that will make me the happiest than ever winning belts, though, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that could certainly, like, you know, serve that end, though, I guess, like winning the belts, just in terms of, you know, entrenching yourself within that history and everything. And I guess as we were kind of talking about different opponents and their skills kind of causing you to also level up and grow in your own skills, like, what are your thoughts on Josette Cotton in that regard? She also is 2-0 and bare knuckle boxing as you are, and obviously going into this as the champion. So, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, how much is this particular fight camp leveling you up as you're ready to fight someone the caliber of Josette?
I know I'm working the hardest I possibly can. I'm not leaving any stones unturned. I don't want to say that ever in any fight camp that I ever did, but I have, you know, my last fight camp, I can't lie, I barely trained. but this fight camp is very different. My mindset is very, very different. I'm very focused. She's tough. We're both 2-0. So we both technically are the top best female welterweight fighters, in bare knuckle in the world right now. So I know she's tough. She, you know, and she comes to fight, you know, she doesn't back down. So I'm making sure that every day, whether I'm training physically or training mentally, I'm on point. So, but I'm taking her very serious. This fight is very, very important to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a very intriguing fight, like you said. I mean, both of you, you know, 2-0 and everything like that. And she seemed to, you know, when I was talking to her earlier today, be cognizant of what you bring to the table and, you know, did notice your power and things of that nature. Just, I guess, you know, in asking, you know, you a similar kind of question, but in the inverse, like, what do you think Josette Cotton really does well out there in the Trigon?
She's tough and she's also sneaky. She switches stances a lot. She keeps her hands down with a lot of fighters do not do. So her punches, they'll come at you a little blind, and she's caught every girl she's fought with sneaky blindsided punches, you know, and she's tough. I know she's clapped both women she's fought, you know, with some strong punches. I know that I'm prepared. I'm going to be prepared to go to war with her because, I mean, she's tough, but I'm also tougher. So, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
So that's interesting. You're obviously very cognizant of what she brings to the table in terms of, you know, the X's and O's. Like, you're talking about how she's kind of sneaky and can really, you know, crack people with a certain level of power. And I mean, as she was kind of talking about your style, that's very oriented to, I mean, heavy strikes too. And then obviously you achieved a knockout in one of your earlier kind of outings there. Is this going to be almost a different kind of consideration in a certain regard? Just, it seems like your style is oriented to, you know, forward pressure, obviously in a calculated way, but does that change at all in this fight? Like, are there certain adaptations you have to make with your general style for this one, or not so much?
Honestly, not so much. I think a lot of people have really only seen probably one side of my fighting. I mean, you kind of saw me on my back foot in my last fight with Sonya, because she just kind of kept coming forward, and I was like, all right, I just got to keep. That was a little bit more different because, like you said, I do like to come forward. I do like to pressure you, and I'm going to come in hot, strong, you know, quick and with power. But I come from an MMA background that you have to be prepared to back up, you know, because of takedowns and kicks and all that other stuff. So I can move off my back foot. I can come forward. You know, I can counterfight like a motherfucker. So I don't really have to adjust much. But, you know, because I want to be – I am an all, you know, all around. I'm a strong – bare knuckle boxer, and it's really just a matter of me opening up my toolbox and just really showing the people what I got, because I know I'm gonna have to throw the whole toolbox at Josette. There's no other way that I'm gonna win this fight if I don't, so I'm prepared.
Yeah, I mean, that's super interesting, and you do talk about that wealth of experience across really a few combat sports. Like, you mentioned MMA, but I also understand you've got some Muay Thai experience as well, so obviously very familiar in the clinch positions, which is like a big part of the, you know, bare knuckle scene nowadays and stuff like that. It seems like, how much does, I guess, that pay dividends for you? Like, maybe some of the previous experiences striking in the clinch positions you'd get from Muay Thai and, you know, MMA in transferring it to bare knuckle.
That's helped me tenfold, because when I try and clinch and wrestle with just pure boxers, they are lost in the sauce. So, you know, because they're not allowed to clinch. So coming from MMA, you know, working the clinch, Muay Thai, like you said, it's made the transition to bare knuckle boxing a lot easier than I feel like I see, you know, some other fighters that were MMA fighters, but were more like strikers, weren't really in the clinch work, stuff like that. Then I'm like, oh yeah, like, see, they have a lot of problems. But for me, no, it makes it a lot easier for me to fight because I like to stay long and stay sharp. You know, I'll keep you at bay with my jab. My jab is my best punch. But I have no problem getting in the mix and getting in the clinch because I'm definitely very comfortable there, so.
I mean, I would think that just with, like, the wealth of, you know, combat sports experience we're talking about and just this run you've been on so far, just being undefeated and, like we said before, number one ranked on BoxRec, I feel like that would really embolden a lot of confidence just in as far as it seems like there's a lot of tools you have that you've prepared for bare knuckle that you haven't shown as of yet. Like, how much confidence does that emboldened? Like, it seems like you have a lot of tools that you have yet to showcase in, like, a competitive context in bare knuckle.
I mean, I'm confident overall in everything I have. So, but yes, it feels good to know that because of the journey I've taken, I have a lot more in my back pocket than most people would. So I'm excited. I'm excited to showcase a little bit more of what I have in this fight, because I know I'm definitely going to have to use more skills than the last two fights that I've shown. So I'm really excited to do that.
Yeah, definitely, and very much not saying you'd be lacking in confidence, but just it sounds like, you know, you very much have a lot more to, you know, showcase as well. And I mean, from my layman perspective, what I've seen so far has been impressive, so it just sounded like an exciting proposition more so.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah, and this is a very exciting fight for sure, and I'm kind of curious, like, not looking beyond this fight, obviously, but do you have, like, an ideal, I guess, strength of schedule you would like to have through this year? Is there, like, a particular number you have in your head in that sense?
I stopped giving myself numbers after the first fight when I broke my hand, and then especially after this last second fight because I broke my hand again. So, you know, God willing, I pray I don't break my hands in this fight, because I would like to be, honestly, as active as possible. Because I know, you know, everybody, whoever's on the throne and has the belts, everybody's gunning for it. And I want everybody to try and take me down. Once I get those belts, that's what I'm honestly really excited for. I'm excited for everybody to try and step up and take what's mine. But as long as I stay healthy. So, I mean, if I could fight two more times this year, I'll be very thankful and blessed. But I kind of just go with the flow, because with this, you just never know with injuries, so.
And were those, like, completely different incidents? I would imagine, so, like, the hand breaks, like, did they occur in differing sequences there, or what happened with those?
Let's see, it was funny because the first fight was only in the first round. I think it was, like, a minute in, or not even under a minute. I clapped her with a left hook, but my thumb, I didn't arc it enough, so I broke my thumb off. And oddly enough, I broke the same, basically the thumb and something with like my pointer finger in the second fight, but I broke that in the third round with Sonya. But unfortunately, I broke it so bad they had to pin it back together after her. So she had a really tough head. Head was strong.
So is that something that you can apply in a strategic sense to any future fights, or is it just circumstantial both times and it's kind of just like, okay, I've got to adapt now, if that makes sense?
For me personally, it's more about adapting. It's you know, because I've gotten some backlash, like, I'll throw your hook properly. Like, bro, first off, it's bare knuckle. And second off, you know, there's different ways to throw hooks, but, you know, it's circumstances. You know, both of them stepped in when I was throwing a hook, so, you know, and I was trying to arc it, you know, turn it a certain way. So I've been learning different ways just to throw my hooks, just so I can make sure that my thumbs can stay out of it, you know, and I make sure to do exercises to strengthen my hands too as well. So, you know, God willing, no more broken hands, but I won't be surprised if I do break them.
And what are you doing in that regard? Because, like, I know some people do the whole, like, punching sand kind of thing and stuff of that nature, like working with Muay Thai boards and whatnot. Like, what are you doing to kind of, I guess, you know, galvanize your hands, or I guess ensure their general stability, I suppose?
So for me, the two main things that I do, I have a rice and a sand bucket, and I dig in those all the time. And then I also have like the old school boxing gloves. So there's, you know, no padding at all in the hands. They look like, I call them my oven mitts. And I hit the heavy bag, you know, just hard enough, you know, because that's what the old school boxers did, was, you know, just work the bag. And you make, like, little micro fractures in your hand that heal over time to kind of calcify and strengthen your hands. So if they did it, I'm going to do it. So that's pretty much it right now. I know I've definitely been told to, I forget what that board is called, but that wooden board. I see a couple of the fighters hitting that. And I've been told to do that. So that's something on my list to buy and give it a whirl. Because anything to strengthen my hands, I'll do. So, but those are the two main things I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, those seem to be, you know, proven across, you know, the board. Not to be punny about it, but I've heard people use those, you know, similar techniques. So cool to hear that you're doing the same. But a bit earlier, you were talking about how you, I guess, communicated with your parents after the last fight. I was doing my backgrounding on you, and I was seeing that, you know, pretty interesting background, just like the dad being a professional race car driver back in the day and your mom being a gymnast. And I kind of thought that, I guess, binary was sort of funny, where, like, your dad seems really fired up about it and your mom is maybe not so much, to put it lightly. Is that still the dynamic? And I mean, it seemed like that was kind of the dynamic with watching MMA. Has the perceptions with bare knuckle differed at all, or same kind of temperaments both ways, I guess?
I mean, pretty much the same temperament. I mean, they definitely were, I mean, my dad was definitely more shocked when I told him that I was going to bare knuckle boxing, and he's like, what? And I'm like, bro, just, you know, I'm going to do it. And he's like, all right, you know, like, they're supportive across the board, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, my mom's definitely a little bit more shy, scared of it. You know, she definitely probably would love for me to quit fighting today, but they support it regardless. I mean, I come from, like you said, like, my family, everyone's a sports head. Everyone's played sports or done something in some type of facet professionally. So I come from a very competitive, sport-oriented family, so they get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you almost always see some sort of path in athletics? And I guess as an extension of that, like, when did combat sports get on the radar? Was that always something you had a level of, I guess, curiosity with, or what led you in that direction and all?
So it's funny, I was really young and I saw Leila Ali fighting on the TV, and I told my dad, I was like, I want to do that. And he was like, absolutely not. You're my only daughter. Like, that's not going to happen. I was like, oh, you know, whatever. And as I grew up, you know, the basic sports in life, softball, field hockey, lacrosse, whatever. So as I went through the years, like, I played field hockey for 8 years. I actually got scholarships to play field hockey in college. I played lacrosse. I did track for a couple seasons. But after doing, like, field hockey for so long, I just really kind of just didn't love it anymore. But I definitely, back home, and I'm not tooting my horn. I'm pretty embarrassed about it now. But I'm definitely known for fighting people. I definitely had a bit of a temper back in the day. So I was seeing someone, I was like 19 years old, and he took me to his gym down in Philly. And it was kind of like all she wrote. I trained. I wanted to kill myself. I was like, damn, this is crazy. This was really hard. But something drew me to it. You know, I was like, I at least wanted to learn how to defend myself. So just kind of kept going from there. And at 21, I had my first amateur MMA fight. And it's just been a crazy journey ever since then.
Yeah, it seems like quite the story has unfurled since the days of throwing down at Hopewell Valley Central High School, eh?
Yes. I mean, put it this way, my teachers in high school definitely weren't surprised when they found out I was a professional fighter. So I was like, well, I guess it's fitting. It just kind of all, it was all meant to be, in my opinion, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of synergy to this. The fact that your dad is a former race car driver and your surname is Driver is also not lost on me. I quite enjoyed that, too.
I know. It's, yeah. I get that a lot. it just happened to be that way. And you know what's funnier is my parents actually met go-kart racing. That's how met. And then his last name's Driver. And he would never let me race, this man. He was too scared to let me race cars, but he lets me fight. But it works.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. But you've been really great with your time, Jamie. It's been a lot of fun having you on for the first time. Hopefully have you on more occasions in the future for sure. But just being mindful of your schedule and what you're getting up to the rest of the day. Is there any kind of final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here?
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know, I just want to say thank you to my team at DS Boxing, my family, friends, all my, you know, supporters and sponsors. Just thank you. Thank you for your continued support in this journey. Thank you for this lovely interview. I had a fun time. Definitely look forward to talking in the future. And I just hope everybody tunes in May 13th and watches me win the belts.
Yeah, glad you had fun. Definitely mutually enjoyable. I liked having you on, too. And this will be a great fight with, you know, Josette Cotton. I was definitely excited for it prior to talking to you, but the excitement compounded that much further leading into BYB 17. So thanks so much again for giving such great insights, and you have a good rest of your day too there, Jamie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.